Come tonight to the last of our lessons on the 23rd Psalm. I appreciate very much the comments that so many of you have made on the lessons from the 23rd Psalm. I think the reason that you have made those comments is not particularly because of the preacher, but because of the passage. A passage that has meant so much to so many of you, and I pray will mean even more to you in the years that are ahead, because of the studies that we have shared together. Last Lord's Day evening, following our service, Brother Tom Hutchison mentioned to me that the 23rd Psalm got him through World War II, and that he recited it to himself on a daily basis, and it was what enabled him to go to sleep at night. And that's a wonderful thought, and I want to share that with you. For in physical danger, in difficult times and places for a Christian, it provided comfort to his soul. And surely you and I, though perhaps not in that same situation, have found that when the difficulties and troubles of life have come, that this passage of great confidence in the Shepherd of our souls has enabled so many of us to close our eyes and go to sleep, and to know that we were in the loving kindness and care of a Heavenly Father. And indeed, it is that kind of confidence with which David closes the 23rd Psalm. The previous verses in the Psalm have looked to the past, they have looked to the present. But as we come to the conclusion of the 23rd Psalm, David looks forward. He looks forward with the same confidence and assurance with which he started the psalm. And what a great confidence that was as we heard him say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." No wavering, no doubt, simply pure confidence in the supreme care and provisions of the shepherd. And we followed him through life's experiences as he went to the pastures green and to the waters still, and as the shepherd led the sheep to the high table lands of the summer pastures and took him through the valley of the shadow. And now we hear him close the psalm with the same confidence with which it began, as he looks to the future and says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Not only does David conclude the psalm with hope, but he concludes the psalm with a full assurance of hope. And that full assurance of hope is the anticipation of the goodness and mercy of God that follow him all the days of his life. As we hear him say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," we might think of these as being basically the same thing, and in many respects perhaps they are, and yet they are not synonyms. Goodness is the stream. Mercy, it has been suggested, is the fountain from which the stream flows. Goodness, it has been suggested, is the open hand of God as he bestows his blessing so richly upon us. Mercy is the open heart of God, which directs the manner and the occasion for the bestowal of those blessings. Goodness, it has been suggested, reminds us as human beings that we are a bundle of wants and needs. And mercy reminds us that even though we are a bundle of wants and needs, all of the blessings that God supplies cannot fulfill those blessings and needs unless with them we have the greatest blessing of all, and that is God himself. But listen to the psalmist as he speaks of the mercy, the goodness and mercy of God, and says that surely these things will follow me. The word translated follow here is a strong word. If you were to describe the pursuit of an enemy during war, following in that sense, that is precisely the word that the psalmist uses here. It's not simply a suggestion that somehow they are related to us. It's not a suggestion that somehow our paths are going to cross if we are fortunate. It is that this goodness and mercy of God is pursuing us as an enemy would pursue one in battle. God is so eager to bless man. God is so eager to take care of man that he was determined to run him down as he were. He pursues us with the zeal and with the love of a father. He pursues us in the sense that he means to find us. It's not something that he just leaves to chance. God's mercy and his goodness follow us as the stream of the waters from the rock smitten by Moses followed the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings. Wherever they went, the water was there. Wherever the people of God go, David wants us to know that there we will find the goodness and the mercy of God. The poet described it this way. I ask my God to go before, to light with signs the unknown shore, and lift the latch of every door. He said, I follow thee. I ask him to prepare my way by kindling each uncertain ray and turning darkness into day. He said, I follow thee. He bade me linger not to light and touch with gold the morning height, but to begin my course by night, and day would follow me. He told me when my hours were dark to wait not the revealing spark, but breast the flood in duty's arc, and peace would follow me. Therefore, O Lord, at thy command, I go to seek the unknown land, content though barren be the sand, if thou shalt follow me. I go by night, I go alone, I sleep upon a couch of stone, but nightly vision shall atone if thou shalt follow me. I sow the seed in lowly ground. I sow in faith, I hear no sound. Yet in full months it may be found that thou hast followed me. It was this assurance that the psalmist had, that wherever he went, whatever he did, in whatever conditions of life he found himself, God would follow him and the mercy and goodness of God would be there taking care of him. And listen to what he says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Listen to it. All the days of my life. What kind of strength is needed to see the presence of God in all of the days of our lives? Look at the life of the psalmist David, if you will. Read through the Psalms. As I noticed, the daily Bible readings in the bulletin were in the book of Job now, and soon, of course, the book of Psalms will be coming up. Look at the book of Psalms as it reflects the life of David. And see the highs and the lows in the life of David. Remember what you've read of his life from the books of history. And how we know that he was troubled. How we know that he had problems. We've talked about his rebellion by his son Absalom trying to take his throne from him. We see him as he sins. We see him as he praises God. Up one day and down the next. But as David looks at his life and as David looks at the future, he doesn't say, you know, the presence of God, the goodness and mercy of God were with me and will be with me when things are really going good. He says the mercy and goodness of God will be with me all of the days of my life. Some time ago, we studied a lesson together on the eye of faith. Oh, say, can you see? And I want to suggest to you tonight that only the eye of faith can see the goodness and the mercy of God in all of God's past dealings with us. And only the eye of God can see the goodness and mercy of God in all that is to come. You know, a child can look at a ball and see that it is a globe. But can you remember from your studies of history how much philosophy it took to convince man that the earth was a globe and that it really wasn't flat and that if you sailed to the edge, you'd fall out? So any eye can see the goodness and mercy of God when things are good. Anybody can see the goodness and mercy of God in wealth and in prosperity and in joy. But what about in bereavement? What about in sickness? What about in poverty? What about in public or private calamity when those things come upon us? So very often when these bad things of life come our way, we're ready to ask with Gideon of old, "Pray, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all of this befallen us?" How many of us tonight? Let's ask it a different way. Do I believe tonight? Do I believe tonight that no matter what occurs in my life, that the goodness and the mercy of God still follow me every day and every hour? Oh, yeah. I believe that it follows me when my health is excellent. There is no question in my mind about the goodness and the mercy of God when my income is flourishing. There is no doubt in my mind that God loves me when my family is well and everybody is doing fine. There isn't any question in my mind when all of my friends are fond of me. It's not hard to say then, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But what about when things go wrong? What about when my health breaks down? Can I say it then? What about when my income has been terminated and there's not enough money to go around to pay the bills? Can I then say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? What about when I stand by and I watch a loved one die by degrees and in pain? As many of you have had to do. Can I then lift up my eyes with confidence to heaven and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? What about when my children don't make their grades in school or they fall in with the wrong crowd? What about when suddenly my friends turn against me and become enemies? Can I then lift my eyes to heaven? Do I then lift my eyes to heaven and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? You see, these are the things, the kinds of things that test a person's confidence in Jesus Christ. These are the occasions during which the chips are down, and these are the occasions when we need something more than pious platitudes to get us through. That's when we need the goodness and the mercy of God, and do I have confidence that it is there? When my dream world falls apart, my dream castle tumbles to the ground, my ambitions are disappointed, and my hope is not realized, do I then have faith to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? Or does it sound like little more than a maddening mockery? What I'm suggesting to us as Christians, based upon the 23rd Psalm and the teaching of Scripture, is that for those who have right relationship with the Lord and confidence in the Lord and who have had right experience with the Lord, that we can in all of the circumstances of life say with confidence and assurance that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Over in the 67th Psalm, 63rd Psalm, in the 7th verse, the psalmist said, because thou hast been my help. Do you get the past tense? Based on my experience of the past, based upon what God has done for me in days gone by, based upon the fact that thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I come over to the Roman letter. Begin reading in the first verse of the 5th chapter, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now listen, and not only so, but we glory, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, listen closely, and experience hope. What is the Christian's hope based on? What is its foundation? It's based upon our experiences of days gone by. And if you'll look at what the psalmist says here in the context in which he says it, it's not just something that comes out of the blue. God, you have taken care of me. God, you have provided for me. You have given me the pastures green, the waters still. You've prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You've made my cup run over, and you've brought me through the valley of the shadow of death. Is there any question based upon that about the hope and confidence in that hope that the psalmist ought to have? Surely if you and I have had that continuing confidence in and relationship with the shepherd, we can also come to this point in our lives and say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We can have confidence in God's tomorrow. We can know that God's tomorrow is a day of gladness, and its joys shall never fade. No more weeping, no more sense of sadness, no more foes to make afraid. God's tomorrow is a day of greeting. We shall see the Savior's face, and our longing hearts await the meeting in that holy, happy place. God's tomorrow is a day of glory. We shall wear the crown of life, sing through countless years love's old, old story, free forever from all strife. God's tomorrow. God's tomorrow. Every cloud will pass away at the dawning of that day. God's tomorrow. No more sorrow. For I know that God's tomorrow will be better than today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, and now listen to it. Hear it tonight. Believe it for those who are His faithful children. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is there anything more beautiful? The psalm opens with certainty. It closes with certainty. Here is a sheep so utterly satisfied with its lot in life, so fully contented with the care that it receives so much at home with the shepherd, that it just doesn't want any change at all. The sheep who has been guided from green pastures and the still waters of home to the tableland pastures of the summer. And now winter has come. And the winter storms and rains have driven the sheep back to the home ranch for the long, quiet winter. And in this sense, it's coming home. It's a return to the fold, to the barns and the shelter of the owner's home. And it's with a sublime composure and confidence and assurance that the psalmist says, in the shepherd's care, I shall dwell in his house forever. I suggest to you that David was looking beyond the earthly sanctuary to that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That David looked beyond the dark valley of the shadow of death to that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Because there alone would he be everlastingly blessed in the fold of the shepherd, where no sin could accuse, no death could snatch from its glory, nothing could shake its security, nothing can mar the peace of those who dwell in the presence of God forevermore. Will you listen carefully and prayerfully? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, God, for that assurance. Do you have that assurance tonight? If not, the invitation is yours while we stand and while we sing.